Welcome to Blue Collar Mystics, the under-the-hood approach to the depths of human consciousness. So many mysteries, so little time, so many big words. That's why we aim to take the mystical and make it practical, usable in your everyday life. And you know, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your story. What happened when you started asking yourself the real questions? Like, who am I? What is this? Is it a hologram? Is this some kind of weird cosmic joke? Hey, these are the questions that we are trying to get to the bottom of as we explore the final rabbit hole together here as Blue Collar Mystics. So good evening, everybody. Welcome to this live stream. We are coming to you on YouTube, Rockfin, and in a private Facebook group doing the reality transurfing safari with Abby Johnson. What's up, Abby? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've really enjoyed this series so far. We're like halfway through now, which is pretty cool. This marks the midway point and really a lot of the more practical information. I feel like the first chunk of this book is really building vocabulary terms, you know, and like identifying like different ideas. And then it starts to get a little bit more practical now.
Scaffolding. That's what we call it in teaching.
Okay. I like it. Scaffolding. Yeah. So,
yeah, you know, you got to kind of build a bridge.
It makes sense because it does all fold together, and you know, I won't no end spoilers, but I like the way he ties things together. You know, closer to the end of the book, it's a good reveal. But we talked about the heart and mind last week, and I think there were a couple things that we meant to maybe mention. And didn't have time for that particular episode to get into.
Yeah, I had a flu, so it just kind of totally hit me at that moment. Yeah.
You're feeling better, though?
I do. I finally feel human again.
That's good. Yeah, you look good. You look like you're feeling much better.
Good.
Yeah, definitely more vibrant. But yeah, we talked a lot about that, just the two parts of being human, the heart and mind. And we're going to go in and tie that into this goals and doors chapter. I mean, it's the meat and potatoes of all this stuff, as we talked a little bit about inner intention and outer intention. Inner intention really being, you know, the mind, and outer intention being the heart. And we're going to tie that in with goals and how to find your goals and how to find basically the access point to that goal. So you might have a lofty goal and there's probably multiple ways to go about getting on the path to that goal, what he calls a door. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how to identify it and how to know when you find your goal. And that's, yeah. And then you can really use outer intention to start to shift toward these other possibilities and in the alternative space. Yeah. Using all the vernacular. Yeah. And by the way, too, I'm trying to promote stuff. So I'm going to be in Chattanooga tomorrow. I'll be in Nashville on the 30th and the 29th, I think. I'll be in Boone, North Carolina on the 27th. And then I'm going to be going to the Grimerica Eclipse at the Canyon. Hope to see some of y'all out there the first week of April. And I'll be hitting some spots out there as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, I'll be at the Bigfoot Retreat. I didn't play the commercial this time, but I will next time with the Expanding Reality guys, Chris Matthew. That's in May in North Georgia. So yeah, if you're around, if you're in any of those areas, you're looking for something cool to do, there's no shortage of awesome stuff to do. And I have actually been able to reach out and make contact with a couple folks who are out and about in the North Georgia area. So be able to link up and maybe go on a hike, maybe do some rafting and stuff like that. And I look forward to that. Just connecting in general, you know. I'm excited to be able to go out and perform and do stuff, but I'm really doubly excited to just be able to meet people, grab a coffee or whatever and hang out, do something cool. All right. So got that out of the way.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. I'm really excited about it. Also, Abby has some really cool stuff going on. She's doing the Secret Society of Good Guys. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we podcast. We usually go live on YouTube every Friday for like 4 hours. And we talk about, I would say, conspirituality. You know, we philosophize. So we usually pick a topic and we run with it. And sometimes we run into a whole bunch of other stuff that's unrelated to the topic. But we put out some fun information. And yeah, you should catch it Fridays at midnight Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, it's a really fun show. I like to lurk in the chat on the live streams for that. It's got Cheney, it's got Paranoid American, Layla, Godpill Angel 33, and they have a rotating panel of different guests who are really well educated on a lot of different esoteric topics and conspiracies and stuff like that. It's late on a Friday night, so it's pretty fun. So definitely check that out. And then also the Netflix and Chill y'all are doing as well as kind of a bonus show.
Yeah, so we're going live on Sundays, just the three of us, the three ladies of the Secret Society of Good Guys. So that'd be Cheney, Layla, and myself. And we just talk about whatever we want for an hour. And then we switch over to our Patreon subscribers and we watch a movie. And we're going to start the Indiana Jones series. So
cool.
That's what's coming up. And we just comment and watch with our audience and it's fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And it's like, especially when you have people who understand symbolism and just different ideas.
Decoding out there. It.
Yeah, you get to like,
you're just like, holy shit, you're watching it through a new filter. Like, how many times have you watched Indiana Jones? And then now you're going to watch it as the person who's like, knows things. And you're like, oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That's awesome. Yeah, y'all be sure to check that out. I've got links down below in the show notes. So yeah, check it out, click on that stuff. And Abby's featured in my channel. Go ahead and subscribe to her. She's coming out with some content there in time. And yeah, so
eventually.
Yeah, no, it's coming out. It's awesome. I mean, you know, it's good. So we talked about the heart and mind last time. This week is goals and doors. Let's recap the heart and mind. Do you feel comfortable giving us a little bit of a synopsis about what we talked about or the chapter?
Well, I kind of want to get into stuff we didn't talk about. So I don't know if you want to do the synopsis or not, but
that's fine. Okay. Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, we have two parts, a heart and a mind. The heart is like the little kid and the mind is like the old man leading it around, you know, and so this is very common in all esoteric literature, but Vadim went in depth to describe the tendencies of each so that we can kind of understand the difference. The heart really needs to take the lead and the mind is there to sort of, what he says is the mind can only, you know, rebuild structures out of the same bricks. It's not really in the creative position. So we looked at the Lover's Tarot card and really understanding that the heart itself is connected to the space of variations, to all that is. The Akashic records, whatever you want to call that. And then the mind can key off of the heart. So it's really important for us to understand and listen inside and hear what Vadim calls the rustle of the morning stars in the heart, and then pay attention to that in the mind and basically begin to carry that out. So that's the basic gist of the sort of chapter, I think, for in large
part. The heart can pinpoint the destination, but you have to have the mind to be the driving force to get you there. So
you're right.
Am I lagging?
No, you're not. I just had a delayed response. No, so yeah. So if you don't mind, tell us about a couple of the things, because yeah, we wrapped up a little earlier last time. So what were a couple of the things that we didn't talk about?
So one of the big points that he brings up is the idea of a guardian angel. And he says that even if you don't believe that you have a guardian angel, you should create the idea of a guardian angel. And it has like several purposes, but the more that you create this entity around you and you talk to it and you speak to it and you by giving it that kind of power, you are empowering it. So it's the more that you talk to it or you thank it for doing things for you, the more likely it is to continue and grow and do those things for you. So whether or not you believe in angels, it's a good idea to allow yourself to believe in one. And something that I decided to do randomly after I read this chapter, I was like, okay, guardian angel, if you exist, what's your name? And all of a sudden this name popped into my head and it was so freaking random. I was like, what the heck? So I look it up. I have to look at the meaning of names, right? And it meant man of prayer. And I was like, well, that sounds very suiting for an angel, you know?
That's a smart idea.
So then I told Owen to do it. Yeah. Oh, I do. Any book, like fiction books I read, I look up the names, the meaning of the names.
Looking up the meaning of mine right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was like, it's a good idea. And so my daughter looked hers up and she swears that her spirit animal is a horse and it literally means like horses or something like that. So it's funny. And then I told Owen to ask his and he got a name too. So
yeah, I actually got a name. So for anybody who's skeptical of the guardian angel thing, I totally get that, right? But I think something to think about is like there's other ways to phrase it. You call it your spirit guide or whatever. For me, when I first encountered this idea, I was in hypnotherapy and I was just having a hard time. I was depressed and I needed some help. You know, this is right before I found the Transurfing book, actually, not too long before it. But we did a hypnotherapy session, and basically what she did was guide me to meet my, you know, guardian angel or spirit guide or what have you. So, you know, at that point it was something that was very real to me. And when you think about it, it is a pendulum, you know, just like anything else. It's like the more that you do give it that attention and energy, then it, whether it's real or not, everything's real. You got to get over that, right? Like we've already discovered that through the beginning of this book and all the context that's set. If you say it's real, it's real. You know, whether it's material is another argument, but yeah, I mean, it can be a very helpful tool and it can be something that to help you deal with stressful situations, vent, you know, and also keep you out of trouble in harm's way too, because if something goes great, you can just give it the glory, you know, give it the credit. And then that way you don't get a puffy ego and wind up tripping.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that it reduces importance. So you can counteract balancing forces instead of like being like, oh, this happened. I'm so excited. I'm so proud. And then, you know, then you get knocked on your ass by balancing forces. So instead of doing that, like while you're feeling that excitement and that joy or whatever, then be like, talk to your guardian angel, like, dude, thank you so much. You have my back. Then all of a sudden you've eliminated that need to balance because it's no longer yours.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just an interesting comment here. I'm an atheist. It feels foreign to me to have a guardian angel. And that is fair, but it is not foreign of you to have an imagination. So just it doesn't have to, I'm not trying to convince you here either, by the way,
doesn't have to have wings. I mean,
you don't have to have
a guardian leprechaun.
You don't have to have a guardian angel at all. Right. Like mine's been,
I don't believe in leprechauns, but I could make mine a guardian leprechaun if I wanted to.
Of course you could. Yes. And so we're not trying to sell you on the idea, but he just makes some really good points in that chapter about it. So that's the basic gist. If you ever had like an imaginary friend as a kid, I certainly did. You know, it's an interesting, even just from a purely creative standpoint, right? To get banter going back and forth, to explore ideas and options, to ask questions out loud. I think these are all things that help us guide ourselves and open up that, open up our inner ear a little bit better. Mike says all his friends were imaginary. Right on. That's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, so that was one of the things that we missed. Like I said, I've done some shamanistic work as well. And I find that a lot of these characters come back up and there's new ones. When you go into whatever you would call that, a daydream, a trance, meditation, whatever, and then you have an experience, then, you know, you're going to encounter different things through that experience. And that doesn't make them unreal, regardless, based on the idea of the book, Quantum Physics, and the infinite alternative archive of storage information, like everything already exists and we're just accessing it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and then the other point I wanted to bring up was that when he's talking about slides and slides being, you know, very visual, if you're not a visual person and you can't imagine a slide, he said you can use positive affirmations. That's what they're there for. But you always need to put them in the present tense. They shouldn't be in the future tense and they shouldn't be in the past tense. Like they should be put in the present tense, and you do have to speak them out loud pretty consistently, I think.
Yeah, that's a popular, you know, self-help thing. I don't know. Affirmations have always been kind of weird for me. I have some other like, I have some other
affirmations. I'm more visual.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it really has mostly to do with the feeling too. It's like, if you just go in there and you just by rote speak out affirmations and you don't actually mean it, you don't have any emotion behind it or intention behind it, then that's kind of monotonous. You know, it's like, I've heard people talk about making gratitude lists, and it's like, you go in there and you start making a gratitude list, but you forget to feel the gratitude, you know? So it's like, well, what are you doing? You know, like you can just list stuff you have, you know, but that's not necessarily going to give you the same result as actually feeling the gratitude for it. So yeah, so just a note there with the affirmations, like it's always been kind of weird for me. Sometimes I do them but I just try to mean them, you know? So
yeah,
you know, that's
the key.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah. The heart and mind, awesome chapter. I mean, and regardless of what your views are, as far as, yeah, religious beliefs or none or agnostic. I tend to consider myself a pretty agnostic. I'm very much dipping into all the different feeders, and I'm not a totalist on anything, but I think everything has like really good points and a lot of different value from the Eastern stuff to, but as we said before, transurfing kind of goes down with whatever. It's just a model. Anyway, not really a belief system. But you better get a guardian angel. I say all that to say, right?
Exactly.
Because they can party, you know? Guardian angels can party. Ours should meet up and get some tea or something, you know? Do a little...
Well, why not?
Do a little guardian angel party. All right, so... I think we can get into goals and doors from there. Like we said, talked about heart and mind. It's just such a common idea throughout the entirety of the book. And obviously this book does have practical value. It has been a lot of theory up to now, but getting into the idea of goals and doors, this is basically like, you know, your direction for your life. Some people might call it your life's purpose, or something heavy like that, which I don't think is far off. I honestly do think I like working with purpose. I like the idea of purpose. It does add some importance for sure, but it also can be very clarifying and give a lot of context for life and help you to stay motivated and keep moving forward, even when you're not having as much fun as you would like. But yeah, goals and doors. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about it. You know, having goals, setting goals, and then really finding a goal, and then the way to it, which is the door to the goal, the path to the goal. And we'll talk about that a little bit and how to identify those things.
Well, it kind of starts off by explaining how it works with going shopping for clothes. And I mean, how many times do you buy something, you go to the store and you talk yourself into it, and then you get it home and then you don't like it, you never wear it, it's sat in the closet with a tag on it, and then you're finally going to donate it or whatever. But like, you do that so much, but that was never your item. It wasn't meant for you, and you weren't supposed to buy it. And you use your brain to buy it. You didn't use your heart. You didn't use the mind. And so, you know, he kind of gets into practice shopping by asking if it's your item, or if you have to talk yourself into it, it's not your item. You should know that right away.
Yeah, it's really, really helpful to be able to, you know, it'll save you a lot of time. But I think that's a really simple and easy example, because I think we've all done that, right? Like, you buy the pants, I'm like, these pants, I'll lose 5 pounds and be able to wear them, or whatever, you know, you tell yourself, you know, it's like, no more skinny jeans, you know? but yeah, I mean, you go in and the shopkeeper's there and they're like, oh, this is the new style, you know, that this, you know, this is the new trend or whatever. And we can easily get swept up in that. But he also says that we also have some objects that we've had for a long time. We still really like, they still suit us, and those are ours.
Yeah. Well, and I like, he used an example of, you know, buying the wrong items or whatever, buying somebody else's item. And it's funny because it always stands out to me, because a while back there was that trend where everyone was wearing like the printed leggings with what I call Zorro boots, you know, the boots that went up to their knees. And you know, you start following a trend and you're not following your heart. You're not following your own authentic fashion sense or whatever. What is your item? And you follow these trends and they're not even suitable for you. And I think about, I was working in a school and I looked over at the teachers, and every teacher was standing in a huddle and they were all wearing their printed leggings with their Zorro boots. And I was like, oh my God, they look so ridiculous. Like, it looked good on some of them, and some of them, it just looked horrible. And it just was like, oh, this is one of those things, you know, like they're all following a trend and it's not really authentic to most of them.
No, it's just what is popular and what is going to make them feel like they belong the most, right? Like, this is the idea of becoming a parody, right? And and the idea that your goal is so unique and distinct, and that item is so unique and distinct, and it's for you. So there's a lot of other goals that are out there that are going to be tempting, that you're going to think, well, you know, this is good. This particular job has a good salary. It's got benefits. I could make some money with it, you know, et cetera, and so on. You know, obviously not terrible things to think about and consider, but what he's talking about in this chapter is that there's a lot of false goals or things that you could wind up doing with your life and pursuing that don't give you any ounce of satisfaction. They don't make your heart, sing. And when you find the correct goal for you, you will be on the path to that goal, not necessarily even attaining it, but on the path of it. It turns your life into a celebration. Your heart sings and your mind rubs its hands with glee.
Because you have to remember that happiness is never a destination. If it's apart from you, then you're definitely not on the right path, because if you feel like it's a place you're going to, something you have to obtain, then you're not on the right path. You should be happy the whole journey.
Yeah. And by identifying your goal and knowing that you're working towards something that truly does make you feel fulfilled, right? And joyous, and like you have a purpose to serve, like that's as good of a feeling as you could really ask for as far as happiness goes. Cause I mean, you're going to attain things, and that's awesome. Like, go out there and attain things, and, you know, write that book or climb that mountain or whatever, learn how to ride a motorcycle, whatever it is, you know, do those things. But, you know, those things will ultimately not having the accomplishments done. That's not really fulfilling either. Like, it's rewarding, like for a little minute, you get a little hit, which is fine, you know, but having been on the path to that larger purpose is what really is emphasized here. And then he talks a lot about how to identify the foreign goal, and to identify your goal, it really should make you feel excited. You know, when you get out of bed and you know that you're going to start that day, have something specific that you're contributing. It's very likely aligned with outer intention as well. So it's something that is going to not only benefit you, but probably benefit a lot of other people too. Then he talks a lot about the foreign goals, the ones that aren't yours, and how to identify what those are. Talking about that feeling of discomfort that we've talked about, right? Like, the heart only feels and knows. It doesn't think or speak. The mind thinks and speaks, and the mind justifies and says, oh, well, this is a good job. It's got a good salary. You know, again, nothing wrong with making a good job and a good salary or whatever. But if it's not on the way to your goal, right, then it's going to feel like a duty. It's going to feel obligatory. He says that a foreign goal appears to you. It's always punishing. And it appears in the guise of a fashion or prestige, and it makes you prove yourself to other people, and it improves someone else's material well-being while it makes you feel uneasy. So those are some good signals to pay attention to emotionally when we're thinking about identifying a goal.
Yeah, if you have to prove anything to anyone, then it's probably not your goal. But the inner tension part is, you know, it's the big deal. It's the rustle of the morning stars. If you feel oppressed at all, or any kind of strain, or, you know, it might not be in the forefront of your head. It won't be, probably. It's going to be like the quiet feeling that you get. But that inner tension is letting you know that it's not your goal. It's not for you. It's meant for someone else.
That's right. It might look good, you know, to have a couple of extra letters behind your name, or, you know, whatever the appeal is, you know, to be able to work really hard or prove yourself in an industry or whatever, but it just might not be for you, and that's okay too. The way to identify your goal, though, is to ask yourself simply, you know, what would make your life feel like a celebration? Like, if you could wake up tomorrow and live truly the life of your dreams, what would that look like? And Abby and I were just talking a little bit just before the stream, just about this whole chapter has really made me just want to kind of reassess some things and ask myself some other clarifying questions just about all of this. It's a good opportunity for that to open up and really see, because it should be, he says, to ask something that's basically beyond your wildest dreams and expect something that's beyond even that, you know, when it comes to the ultimate sort of goal. And we'll talk about the means to that too in just a second. But I love how encouraging he is, and also how specific you can be with this exercise. You know, you can just like open up and really feel what it would feel like, what it would be like to live that life of your dreams. What would the day-to-day look like? What would the experience be like? And start there, you know, at the far off goal, but as we talked about in slides, we're going to incrementally work toward that goal. It's not going to happen overnight. But there will be a process and a pathway to it that we'll talk about with doors in just a second.
Yeah. Just what we were talking about before is it's in all aspects of your life. You know, he says that you should be working towards one big goal. And so sometimes the goal isn't what you think it is. Maybe that's just like a door that you'll go through on the way to get to your goal. So I think sometimes we think that the goal should just be something that we can, you know, like we think of SMART goals, measurable, obtainable, you know, all of that. And maybe it should feel something that you can only dream about, you know, but your heart has never stopped dreaming about it. Maybe it should be that, and it shouldn't be something that's going to happen in 3 years, or, you know, maybe it will. And maybe it'll be sooner, maybe it'll be later, but it doesn't really matter. It's like the whole process. You're on your path. It takes me back to the whole alchemist of it all, like finding your own personal treasure, like your own legend, your legend. And that's really kind of what this is. So like for me, I do bodybuilding, but maybe bodybuilding and getting my pro card, it is a goal, you know, but it's not really like my ultimate goal. It's not the goal for me. It's just something on my way, I think, to my ultimate goal. Because I enjoy it. My soul likes it. It is something that I do. And I see it happening. It's easy, really, for me to see it. But I know that that's like not all of it. That's not all I want to accomplish in life. You know, it's just, it's a step on my way.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there can be many in succession. We have choice, right? So within this, there's probably many, many options that we each all have to pursue, you know. And a lot of the goals or things that we maybe think are goals, maybe they're just small, shorter, incremental milestones on the way to that larger goal.
Yeah.
But we accomplish those, and that leads us to something else and leads us to something else. And it's very often, you know, the things that happen in life that are the most surprising and exciting are the things that we didn't know could happen. And so being open to that, but also still pursuing whatever the essence of that goal is. I like to think of it that way. When I think about purpose, which is probably a little bit larger and off the scope of this book, but it really has most to do with, you know, what you want to bring to the party, what you can kind of naturally bring to the party. And I think it coincides directly with the goals and is part of the skill set that winds up helping you to navigate these goals in succession.
Yeah, and that's what I like, what it says about your skill set, like the things that you're naturally good at or that you have an interest in, those are not there accidentally. Like those are actually, like, it's important that those are there. Those are all part, and it goes back to me saying that you're weird is your superpower, because your little quirks and the little nerdy things that you're into, that is a part of what makes you you, and that is probably a part of your goal. That is probably a, you know, through those doors you will be able to achieve your goal. So electronics is something that I do well. I don't think that that's like my end game at all, but I do enjoy it. Like I do like it, and I have a natural tendency to be good at it, but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily the big picture for me. That's just, but maybe that has something to do with it, you know?
Yeah. One thing that I heard someone say a few years ago, and it's always stuck with me, was that just because it's easy for you doesn't make it less valuable to others. You know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these skills, they sort of roll into each other. You got some people who have a very specific niche, you know, it's a very, bullseye, spot on the nose niche. But most people are building several different skills in conjunction that sort of correlate and cross over. And then they bring, you know, some variation of that mixture together as they develop those skills. You know, that old saying, jack of all trades, master of none, is only half the saying. It's one of my favorite things to point out. It's because it's like jack of all trades, master of none, but oft times better than master of one. So it's like really easy. I feel like people don't tend to appreciate the various skill sets, but when they start to overlap, it's pretty awesome, because then now you can do something that's completely unique to you because of the range of skills that you have. And so that saying is awesome, because it's like someone who is well-rounded and has a lot of skills that they've developed over time might have an even better angle than someone who is just super myopic, you know, who does have that one skill set. So I do think the goals evolve over time too. Yeah. And start to overlap. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Regarding the doors, this is something that's been kind of a new experience for me. Well, that's not necessarily true. But I've seen some wide open doors. Like, I feel like I usually, whenever I see a door, it's wide open, and I it's like flashing light, you know, like this is the door, it's wide open. And that's been my experience as far as doors go. Usually it's not always. So like, I'll give an example for comedy. So obviously I'm working to become a comedian. I've been doing stand-up comedy for a while. And so with that, it's a whole thing. You learn about all the industry and that kind of stuff. Well, I started producing shows here really out of necessity, because gas went to $5 a gallon, and driving to open mics is like, why would you do that? And then ultimately, you know, got the opportunity to make contact with a couple of venues here. And then now I'm producing, you know, 3 shows a week here in town, which is not necessarily, I didn't get into comedy to produce shows, but every show that I produce, it gives an opportunity for me to give someone else time on stage. It gives an opportunity for me to do time on stage or host the show. The other comedians get to learn the other parts of how an event works and a production goes. And so there's a lot of really cool benefits that are happening as a result of that, not to mention meeting other comedians, booking comedians that are coming through. So it's been a networking opportunity as well. So it's just a wide open door that's just presented itself. I started posting on Instagram and just posting all the shows that are going on in town and stuff, and just connecting the scene here. And really that's for the point of outer intention, right? Like, how can you, if you're getting into comedy, or if you're getting into music, or if you're getting into some sort of an industry, you know, how do you serve the muse of that industry? How do you give to the people who are part of that group something that's valuable? Because if you can do that, then you'll get opportunities as a result of that. That's really what outer intention's about. And we'll get into frailing pretty soon too, the idea of kind of giving to get, so to speak, sort of. That might not be the best analogy for it, but but anyway, assessing and seeing what that industry needs. So it's like, in my mind, I don't, you know, from my perspective coming into doing comedy, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go to open mics, and then I'm going to get booked, and then blah, 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 blah. But I had the opportunity to create shows and create opportunities for myself and other people. And that's actually provided more value to the industry, the people who are in it, than me just being a comedian. So it's been a pretty wide open door and an ability to, you know, meet some really cool people and have great shows here and build the comedy scene and community here in our local area. So I don't have to drive nearly as much, which is awesome. Like, there's shows here all the time now. And instead of having, you know, to battle traffic and go to open mics and perform for 6 people, we're doing live shows with real audiences because we've, you know, started to really put the pieces together of putting the shows out, and it'll calm down the summertime here. It's a college town, so like the summer will be chill, but then the fall will come back. But you know, it's just a wide open door. And then even the other comedians are like, yeah, man, here. I'm like, they call me the stepdad of Athens comedy.
Which is, you don't get to be daddy, you have to be stepdad.
Yeah, that's what I get, because I get no respect, you know. but I don't claim any of those kids. That's my line. So yeah, it's been great. Like, they roasted me last year and stuff. So it's been like so much cooler. I used to have, you know, a lot of I don't know. There's a lot of really cool comedy scenes and stuff, and in New York and LA and all this stuff. And that's like the thing, right? And all those things are very, very cool. It'd be really amazing to have a club to work out of. But we have a whole community here, so it's really cool. And, you know, if something happens at one venue, we just walk across the street with a PA and a light, and we just start another show there, and it's fine.
Perfect.
So like, just one example of that door. You know, when I started wanting to do comedy, I was one day just goofing around on a set that I was working on, and I sent my friend a Marco Polo. I don't know if anybody remembers that app. But it was like a mm-hmm. video messaging app. And so we were in this super creepy hospital, and I just made a funny, stupid Marco Polo and sent it to my friend Terry. And then the next day he goes, hey man, you want to work on cruise ships as an MC? You know, this was quite a few years ago. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, so that got me the opportunity to start doing hosting and stuff on cruise ships with the 6-man crew. That was an amazing door that just wide open out of nowhere. I didn't even know that would be a possibility. It wasn't anything that I even knew existed. So a couple of examples of doors. I'm sure there's a lot of more subtle door examples, you know? But those are some of the ones that I've seen, and they've just been literally wide open, like glaringly, hey, here is a door. Do you want this? And I'm like, does anybody else not you guys don't want this? Okay. I mean, literally wide open. So, I don't know, what has your experience been like that with recognizing doors?
Well, I feel like this chapter in particular, I kind of glossed over it. Not that I glossed over it, but I'm just saying, I don't think that I was like looking for a specific goal. I was kind of looking more to, I was looking for my goal. Okay. I will say that. But I do feel like the door thing, like when I got my current job in IT, I was teaching at the time, and I didn't need my degree for this job that I'm doing now. And I wasn't even sure if I wanted the job. So I was like, you know, I worked my ass off to get my teaching degree. I'm going to be a teacher. Like, and the opportunity just presented itself. It was random. I was like, you know, what do I know about computers? I mean, I know quite a bit about computers compared to a lot of people, but I still didn't think that I was on the level, right? So I said no, though, to the job. But then I said, well, okay, let me think about it. So I went home, and that night before I went to bed, I actually kind of just set the intention to dream about it. And I dreamt about it. I dreamt that they offered the job to somebody else, and I was really, really upset about it. So the next day I went in and I talked to them, and I said, yeah, I really want the job. I knew that my heart, because in the dream space, you are your soul. You are mostly heart. So I knew that that was my door. Like, I was supposed to take that job. So, and it's great. I love my job. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
It's not my ultimate goal. It's not what I want to do forever, but right. It's definitely on the right path.
Well, I think that's part of it too, as we navigate these things. You know, there's a lot of different sort of streams that are leading us closer and closer to our goal. And those might be also called doors, or several doors, or series of doors. You know, but it's kind of funny, as I sit here and talk about this, I'm realizing, you know, what, 3 or 4 years ago, what I was thinking about, you know, was doing comedy here and being able to, we wanted a comedy club at first or whatever, but like, I think it's better to not have one. And basically the reality that I'm living now is almost exactly what I visualized then, you know, and now I want to see something, you know, bigger develop from there. And I'm sure we'll see what that is. But there's like a lot of just different streams in the water that kind of are taking you, you know, to your goal. But it's bigger than, like, it's kind of like you were saying earlier, it's like enveloping skills. So if you look at a lot of people who are on the internet, they're not just one thing. Like, they might be a comedian, but they might also be a podcaster or like a host of they've got several different things going on. And so it's not like just like one thing. So I think there's many, many different doors that kind of contribute to the overall goal. And it's just, I don't know. I guess some of all the other goals that I can think of were wide open. I can't think of all the other doors were just standing there. The cleaning business, the Airbnb business, wide open. And I've even had other business ideas that were wide open, but I just didn't have the resources to pull the trigger on it. You know, it's like I could either spend my whole entire summer working on this, or I could live my life. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Okay. You know, that reminded me of like one of the points in this chapter are that, you know, and I know we've probably touched on it before, that when things are in alignment with your goal or with your door, you will get little cues from the universe. And a lot of time it's just like a sentence that somebody says, like just a little phrase, and you know if it's for you and if it's a signal for you. But you saying that about working all summer, because I work a different summer job, and I don't know, that just stuck out to me right there. And I was like,
yeah,
ooh, good. This is for me.
Yeah. Yeah, he says that outer intention will open the door to your target lifeline. And also one of the things that he talks about is like, whatever it is that you do easily and passionately and meaningfully, like that's valuable. And it's definitely a key to identifying your goals and doors. You know, what are the things that do come easy? What are the actions that you take where you don't need anybody to cajole you? You don't need any motivation extra to do it. You just wake up and you want to do that thing. What is that? What are those things?
I'm like, man, I'm good at assembling furniture. So what does that mean? It has nothing to do with what I think my goals and doors are. So
an IKEA consultant, you know, just helping people assemble their IKEA furniture.
I could totally do that.
I put a desk together upside down one time, an whole entire computer desk. It's actually this one that I have right here. That's
I assembled the one that my stuff's on right now too. But I love assembling furniture. It's a weird. But I think that's why I like my job too, because I pull apart computers and stuff. I like doing tools. I like tinkering.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to kink shame you. That's not my place. But yeah, I have a hard I have a harder time with the furniture stuff. I definitely did put that, because this desk used to have like a bookshelf, and I built it upside down, and it was a mess. But it's still solid. It's still holding it together. But yeah, like, what else does he say in here? He's talking about, not putting all your eggs in one basket as well. That's a big key point. Don't burn bridges. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And we understand this from balance. Yeah. You know, the idea is that if you focus too much of your attention on one thing, then everything else falls out of alignment with that thing that you're putting so much emphasis on. And don't get me wrong, it's definitely something that happens. but that's what the warning's for too. It's good to have. I mean, there are some contradictory statements in here too, because he does talk about how if you chase two rabbits at once, you'll catch neither. And then he tells you not to put all your eggs in one basket, you know, have a backup
plan. Yeah. But Because that's in the process of achieving the goal, you will fulfill all other desires along the way. So there you go. So if I don't make my ultimate goal to be a professional bodybuilder, which I know it's not, I mean, that's just a little bit of time off, you know, that's not the end goal.
Right.
Really, I feel like it relates more to the world of podcasting with the Secret Society of Good Guys, but we're going to go on tours too.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. I can't wait. I'll come and catch you guys. You guys, I got rooms here in Athens. You got to come through, you know, I got you.
You're damn right. We will. Yeah. That'll be fun.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I find a lot of value in juggling multiple projects at the same time, not just one. It helps me because I can shift my focus from one thing to another thing. And then I don't get too precious about whatever the one thing is that I care the most about. So it's helpful. Yeah.
And I sort of feel the same way. It's like not one is more important than the other, really. And that, but I'm doing mind and body. So and I'm keeping balance in that way too. So.
Yeah, I think that's important. You know, we're going to get into energy next time. And energy really has, it's everything, but it has to do with the physical aspect too, just not just the mental. Yeah.
He even talks a little bit about energy in this chapter, that if you don't hear anything from your heart, if you can't tell if something is foreign, a foreign goal, or if it's your goal, that sometimes that means that you have shit energy and you really need to fix that.
Yeah.
And then another key point I want to point out is that renting yourself out, because that is sometimes what you have to do along the way. You know, you rent yourself out until, you know, these doors present themselves to you. And when you're renting yourself out, he says you need to do it impeccably. And that kind of goes back to Carlos Castaneda, because that's one of his favorite words, is that a warrior is impeccable. And that doesn't mean being without sin. It means that you play your part as best you can. Like, you play it to the utmost. You do the role that you're renting yourself out for the best that you can, to the best of your ability.
You have integrity and play the game.
Yep, LARP.
You know, LARP it up. Stalk it.
Stalk it.
Such a weird word, but whatever. It's funny.
It's a good word. I like it now.
It is. I mean, the biggest
transmuted
thing...
it. Yeah. It doesn't mean stalker like a weirdo.
Right?
It's a stalker like a different kind of weirdo.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually a positive word now, oddly. It's become that way. But yeah, biggest thing is really identifying those foreign goals. Those don't help us. That's how people get trapped in the matrix, right? Like, they wind up in a foreign
yes
world, and now you become, you know,
like, this is my life. Yeah. I have to do this forever.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
Hey, guess what? You never have to do anything forever.
You never have to do anything at all.
Start over at any time. Yeah,
you can't. You don't have to do anything. You don't. Nothing.
You could be a beach bum and probably be perfectly happy. not advocating for it, but I'm just saying that would be a kind of a. Not a bad life.
I mean, it's tempting, dude. Like I said, you know, in the summertime, like, I could just go out in the woods and just be a raft guide for the whole summer. And it's tempting. It's really tempting. I'll be more than happy doing that. But I don't know. I feel like that's...
You got a different goal,
though. I got a larger goal. And that fits into it some, but it's not something that I can do all summer. Like, I can go and work a few shifts here and there, take a few trips, but it's not something I can put my whole self into. I wish, in a way, I wish I would have, because like in 2020 it was huge. Like, rafting was like one of the safe things you could do.
So it's outdoors and you don't have to wear a mask.
Right. So they had a huge pop then, and I didn't even think about it. I should have ran up to the Chattooga then and started
taking. Yeah, that would have probably kept you out of depression, but then again, look what all you've accomplished in the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's all been good, so no worries. But yeah, it's a fun thing. There's lots of amazing things that are part of our goal, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I strongly encourage people to take the exercise, whether you write it down or just relax and imagine, you know, what that end goal feels like, what it is. And then I think ultimately, once you get to that place, you're going to have a thirst to get to the next milestone, whatever that is. You're going to want to continue to improve and have another idea of what to do next. So it's always a process, but I love the way he frames it, where when you find your goal, it makes your life a celebration. It's just beautiful. I find it to be pretty true as well. I mean, there are still always going to be some hard days. You still got to pay taxes and stuff. And, you know, there are some aspects of any job, career, whatever, where, you know, you just have to encounter things that are not always pleasurable. But at the same time, it's a lot easier to push through things that are difficult if you are connected to a higher purpose or a bigger goal or a larger idea of what it is that you're working for.
Just remember to talk to your guardian angel and give them the fucking credit, because you'll reduce importance and you'll save yourself a lot of backlash.
It's a good call. 100%.
It's like a tulpa. Is that the word?
Yeah. Tulpa. Yeah. Toku. They have a bunch of different words for it in Buddhism and Hinduism as well. They're all pendulums.
Yeah.
Egregore. Whatever.
But it's yours. So.
My friend striving for mediocrity. Hell yeah, dude.
Period.
Go for it. Whatever makes you happy.
I hope everybody... you're perfectly mediocre.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you are, my friend. And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I mean, for you, it's whatever it is that you decide, right? Like, that's the whole point of Transurfing. It's about your values, your credo. So you're not going to have the same one as everybody else does. That's just it. That's the whole point. And by sitting down and giving yourself the opportunity to ask yourself what it is that you want, you know, that's how you can understand what your goal is or could be or could become. And it will make it much, much easier to identify those doors when they open. I mean, for me, I don't know. I was trying to think of like a subtle door. I don't know.
I know it's kind of hard to do, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's weird because it's like those weren't necessarily the doors that I had expected to see, right? Like, because they weren't, because I didn't really want that. It's like I don't want to be, you know, the producer guy or the stepdad of Athens Comedy. Like, that's not my, you know, that wasn't my intention. My intention is to be able to do comedy. Well, I can do way more comedy in this way because I'm producing the shows. And I also I'm connecting with a lot more people. So it's a huge win. It's just not what I had thought. So I encourage you to be, you know, flexible too with the, that's what he says too, when he's talking about accomplishing goals, is to be flexible with the process, be open to the change and the shifts and variations. Read the
stop side. Planning it, the whole thing out, because then you're using your mind instead of your heart. If you're sitting there doing the whole writing it out and doing the little step by step by step, and then your mind has decided how it's got to happen or it cannot have it, so then you're taking away all the other possibilities.
And so, you're not going to recognize those signs when they show up that are very obvious signals in the flow.
Yeah.
You know, a variation's like, oh, I should do this. It's like, if I would have been like, no, this isn't the way it's supposed to go. I'm supposed to do all these open mics and go down here and blah, blah, blah. And then I would have worked against myself and it would have been made my journey more difficult. Right. But the universe is like, here, this is the path of least resistance. Go this way.
So play your goal side. You know, that's important. So you know your ultimate goal, play that side. And then, you know, use slides along the way, but don't plan every single step, you know, because then you are literally like, if we have the space of variations, which is infinite, and you're limiting it to it has to happen like X, Y, Z, then you're eliminating the whole rest of the alphabet. You know, you're eliminating every other possibility that could possibly bring it to you easier and better and faster. Sure. So you're getting that, you're allowing the head, the heart, or the brain to get in front of the heart instead of having that balance there.
Yeah, really good. It's really good. Yeah, be flexible.
On the subtle door, I mean, this is, I'm not going to go into detail, but this might be kind of an example, but I was having a difficult conversation with somebody the other day, and I definitely had two ways I could have gone with it. And it was weird because right when it happened, I saw the split. Like, I saw the divergence. I could see, like, that there was two different lifelines I could take, you know. But I knew one wasn't the right way to go. Like, wasn't the way that I was going to go. So, it's like, and I knew that if I went through that door, then this and this and this might happen. So, I don't know. Was that way too vague?
No, I like that. I think, yeah, that's a good example.
But I could literally see, you know, the diverging timelines. You know, I could see that there was two different things that were being presented to me at the moment. And I could choose the one or I could choose the other. And I chose the one that felt better, you know. So...
yeah, all kinds of signs. Yeah, all kinds of signs in the flow of the variational flow of currents. And that's, but yeah, I think we have those moments pretty often too, where it's like, oh, I see two different ways for this to go. You know, one could be disastrous and the other one could be not. Oh man, that's funny. But yeah, I mean, yeah, really, really, really good insight. And it's a long chapter. Yeah, trust yourself. He says, don't allow yourself to be influenced by others. Stick to your script, stick to your credo, your value system, what that is. I don't know if most people even know what theirs is. You know, it's like, that's why we have these other signals to follow, guilt and regret, etc. It's for when we do something that's outside of our credo, our value set, and that just helps us to guide us so that next time we don't do that, and then we can be more impeccable.
But do you ever feel like you get those feelings when you're on the right path, though? Like, you almost get those feelings to push you off the path. Like,
I mean, just curious. So yes, so there is a counterpart to this. There's resistance like crazy, like to sit down and write or to sit down and do the difficult work that, you know, is going to take you through the abyss of things. Yeah. I think that resistance is there, but resistance is not necessarily the same thing as inner discomfort. So it's like resistance, like for instance, you're like, I don't feel like going to the gym today. Well, you just muscle it up and you just go to the gym anyway, even though you don't feel like going to the gym. That's just busting through the resistance. I mean, obviously it's different if you are like, well, I hurt my knee and I need to be careful and not go to the gym because I don't want to hurt my knee or something. But basically, like, plowing through that resistance to whatever your work is, I think is a good thing. He talks a little bit about the muse in this chapter and how if you sit around and just wait on the muse, she never shows up. You're just like, you know, you light the candles and you put the table out and you do the spread and everything. And you just wait, you wait for inspiration. It never comes. But if you go ahead and sit down and you start to eat, then the muse will show up and tap her foot on because she's kind of insulted that she wasn't invited. You know, she's like, what, you're going to eat without me? That's not, you can't do that. It's kind of how he explains it in the book, which I think is really a beautiful metaphor. So, you know, distinguishing between, you know, inner discomfort of the heart saying no versus, hey, this is just some work I got to trudge through as part of getting to my ultimate goal, because nothing is, you know, it's not like you can, it's not like you can, you're still going to have to work some, you know? So I think a lot of that resistance is
that and pendulums, though.
That's what I battle with the most. Yeah.
Cause I think pendulums kind of knock you off and make you feel guilty sometimes too. Like, or make, you know, guilty for chasing your dream and your goal or whatever. I think that a lot of times that's what it is. Like, you have to determine that. Is this pendulum or is this, like, literally
right,
my inner discomfort?
Yeah.
You have to be able to distinguish between the two.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, you do. And I don't know, sometimes we don't always get it right, you know, and that's part of it too, is learning from mistakes, if you will, or different choices. Like tonight I skipped out on something I probably should have gone to. I didn't go. It's okay. I'm not going to beat myself up about it, but I probably should have just,
you are a little bit, huh?
Sucked it up. Yeah. And just gone out, but it's okay. I mean, lesson learned. And, that's part of it, is recognizing what is a pendulum and what is inner discomfort. You know, that's big. I like this comment a lot. My life has been spared so many times. I know I have a guardian angel, but I don't know them except through intuition. You can ask them to show themselves to you if you'd like.
Ask their name. I'm telling you, it's weird what name will pop in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll tell you what mine means after the stream. Oh man. All right. Well, yeah, I think that's about it for this little segment here. Next week we're going to do energy. And I do have a energy video out of how to do the energy breathing exercises. I don't do turn the key in it, but I'll make one for turn the key. That's another exercise. Ooh. But yeah.
Is that in this chapter?
It's in energy coming up. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I love turning the key.
Yeah. Turn the key is cool. This basic energy exercise is really cool too. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. Somehow I managed to make a 20-minute long video about it. That's how simple it is. But, it's really good. I've been doing it a lot on my walks, but you got to be able to do that part and then turn the key. So check that out. If you want to check that out, we'll be talking about energy next time. If you're in Tennessee, Nashville, Chattanooga, coming up, or Boone, North Carolina coming up, come out, shoot me a message, come see me. I'll tell you some jokes. And, yeah, I appreciate you guys. I'm going to be at the Eclipse at the Canyon thing, and then the Bigfoot thing in May. Plenty of time for that.
If you buy his summary and you see him in person, he might just autograph it.
That's true. Yeah. I'll e-sign if you mail it to me or email it to me, and I'll e-sign it too. I'll do whatever to encourage you. Check out the summary. It's good. I really enjoyed putting that together. It's really helped me a lot to really go through and synthesize a lot of these concepts. And it's helping me a lot to talk to you about it too, Abby. It's really awesome.
Me too.
Do you think there are any guardian angels named Chad?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Legions, bro. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, we'll
see. Now look up what Chad means.
Right. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for coming out. We really appreciate y'all. Thanks for chatting with us. Thanks for hanging out on the stream. Much love. We'll see y'all next time.